Now we're thinking about praying to God when life is hard. Putting our hope in God means always trusting Him with the answers to our prayers. Trusting that He will do what is best for us as our Heavenly Father. Now God always, always answers our prayers. But He does not always answer them how we might want or hope. And that can be hard for us, especially when we're praying about difficult and tough situations. So we want our gran to get well, but she doesn't. Did God not hear my prayer? Now friends, children and adults, this is hard. And so we're going to need to really twitch on our brains and think about this. See, what happens when my prayer is not answered how I hoped, how I want, how I asked? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 to 10. It's page 1167 in the Church Bible. 1167. So firstly, here is Paul. Okay, he's an apostle of Jesus. That is, he's one who has met with Jesus. He's a disciple of Jesus. He's been used mightily by Jesus to bring thousands of people to faith. And we're told in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1 and 2, he's given a vision. In fact, we're told he's given a tour of heaven. So this is a man who's in good relationship with God, who loves God, and God clearly loves him. And Paul writes, verse 7, that in order to keep him from being conceited, proud, boastful, showing off, because of these visions, Paul's given a thorn in his flesh. Now we're not sure exactly what that thorn in his flesh was, but I want you to imagine this big thorn, big splinter, whoop, in his leg. Have you ever had a splinter? And it's just really sore. We've had a couple of splinters in our household over the last couple of weeks in feet, and it's been sore. People walk, it hurts. Well, imagine a big one, whoop, in your thorn, in your flesh, in your leg. Now, we don't know what that was. In some way, Paul was in pain. I like to imagine he had back pain, and it reminded him of his weakness and frailty every day. But whatever that thorn was, it was difficult and hard for him. And we're told as well that Satan tormented him. In other words, that Satan is going around saying, Paul, God doesn't love you. Paul, how can God love you if you've got this thorn in your flesh? And look what Paul does, verse 8. Have a look, what does he say? 3 times I pleaded. That is, I begged, I prayed, I asked God, please take it away. I mean, what was Paul hoping for when he prayed, when he asked that? That God, his heavenly Father, would take this thorn away from him, this pain, this difficulty would be removed. But God doesn't take it away. Paul, it seems, is left with this pain for the remainder of his life. Did God just ignore his prayer? No, God answered it, but not in the way Paul had hoped or asked for. God, or more precisely here, God the Son Jesus, says instead, have a look, verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So Jesus does not take the pain away, but he promises to give Paul all he needs, his grace. What's Jesus' grace? It's his help. It's his strength. It's his presence. It's Jesus being with Paul in a special, close way through this difficulty and hardship. And how does Paul respond to this? He puts his hope in God. It's kind of Psalm 42 stuff. He trusts God that God's answer is best. You see what he says? Verse 9. Therefore, says Paul, I will boast, shout, be proud of, talk about all the more gladly about my weaknesses, this thorn in the flesh, so that Christ's power, his help, his grace, may rest on me. And then verse 10, will be shown and displayed for all. Paul puts his hope in God, even when what Paul prayed for, hoped for, is not given. See something similar with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember last time in our all-age service? Remember Jesus is praying the night before he dies, Father, take this cup from me, the cup being God's anger for our sin that he's about to die on the cross for. Did God answer Jesus in the way that Jesus had hoped and wanted at that point? No, he had to go to the cross. Jesus, your will be done. Jesus puts his continued hope in God, and God answers. How? By sending angels to strengthen him and encourage him and help him. Friends, this is really important to grasp. This is really important to grasp if you're young or if you're old. Because when we pray, particularly in hard situations, God does not always answer how we wish or hope. Now, often he does. We pray that Gran would get well and Gran gets well. But sometimes God doesn't. And Gran does not get well. And here's the thing. The Bible does not tell us why. The Bible does not tell us why God allows Bertie's Gran to get better and not my Gran. But the Bible does tell us some of the ways God answers our prayers. And I think there are three key ways. I just need three volunteers who are going to stand. Yep, Judah. Yep, Violet. Yep, Evie. Go and just stand up right here for me. It's going to be my holder of props. Can you do that? First thing that God always helps us to remember when we pray. He always does what is best for us. He always does what is best for us. So we learn in Romans 8, 23 that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. It's what we were seeing on camp, if you were with us on camp, the Joseph story. Remember Genesis 50, verse 20? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So God is always doing what is best for us as those who love him. So whatever is happening, we can trust, even though it is hard, that God is doing what is best. And the best for us might not be that he changes the situation or answers the prayer how we hoped, but he's always going to do the best for us. And Romans 8 and 2 Corinthians 12 says that the best for us is that we become more like Jesus, that we would love Jesus more. It's what Paul experienced in his grace. That the best for us is that sometimes is that we are growing in our love for Jesus. And maybe God is doing other things that we can't even begin to see. But we know he's always doing what is best. But then into that, this is really important, is he's always doing what is right and just. So Genesis 18, verse 25, Abraham says, will not the judge of all the earth do what is right? In other words, he's not just doing what is best, he is doing what is right in every situation, and that which is just in every situation. He never gets it wrong. See, the thing is, it may be just me, but I think it's probably you as well, is that when life is going hard and I'm praying and asking God for things and he doesn't answer in the way that I hope, I can be tempted to think God's got this wrong. Oh God, you got it wrong. How could that possibly be best? How could that possibly be right? But God never gets it wrong. He always does what is right and just. And then thirdly, we learn in Ephesians 3, verse 20, as Paul ends a prayer, he says this. He says, God is able to do immeasurably more. Now that word immeasurably, that's a big old word, isn't it? But it means limitless, it means unfathomable, it means boundless, it means this. It means that he's doing so much that you cannot even begin to measure, count, work out what he's doing. He's doing so much more than our little minds can even begin to think about. And so Paul goes on, he says, Ephesians 3 verse 20, he's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Is that great? According to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. What does it mean that he's going to do immeasurably more? Well, take Paul's thorn that's going to be removed. Okay, I'll let you guys sit down. I wish you could be here for a while. And you did a great job. Thank you very much. What does it mean? Take Paul's prayer for the thorn to be removed. Well, God's answer was immeasurably more than Paul could ever imagine or wish for or hope for. So you think about it. God gave him his grace, his ongoing, abundant, generous grace, his help, his presence, his comfort, a deeper relationship with himself that was far better than the thorn being removed. And Paul's response to receiving that was to boast about it, to boast about the weakness, because it revealed how good God's grace was. Do you see what Paul's saying? This is surprising. He's saying he would now rather keep the thorn in his flesh and have God's grace than have the thorn removed and not know God's grace. God did immeasurably more than Paul could have ever dreamt or imagined. And many Christians, many in this room, have endured hard times, trials and difficulties, have pleaded and prayed with God to take it away, to heal them, to restore it, to fix the situation. And God's answer was immeasurably more. He gave them his grace. He walked with them in a deeper, closer, more intimate way. He answered the prayer in ways they could never have begun to even dream. That brought about changes in situations and circumstances that they could never have dreamt, which were far better for them than what they had initially wanted. And would say like Paul, they're glad that God did not answer their prayers in the way they would hope or had pleaded with, because of now knowing God deeper and closer, and because of the trial. Because God answered the prayer in what was best for them and immeasurably more than they could imagine. Now we can say that about our own situations, when the thorn is in our flesh, as it were. Of course, it's harder to say when the situation is about someone else or a loved one. But God's still doing immeasurably more than we can imagine in our lives, in the lives of those that we're praying for. Certainly if they're believers, and possibly if they're not. He's drawing them to himself. Now sometimes we might not see or know how God has worked. But like Paul, Jesus and the psalmist, we can put our hope in God our Father, praying to him even when it's hard, because of who God is. He does what is best for us. He always does what is right, and because of what he does, which is far more than we could ever imagine or see. And we can be confident that he will do those things because of the cross, because at the cross, God the Father reveals his great love for us in sending his Son to die for us, to pay the punishment for our sin, that we might be friends with him. And if he has done that for us whilst we were his enemies, how much more will he answer our prayers, doing what is best for us as those who are his children. Who better to put your hope in than your Savior and your God? So let's finish with this then. How should we pray about hard things? I think there are three things to pray when we're praying about hard situations. The first, and there's some actions for this, because I'm into actions today. Okay, here's the first action that we're going to do when we pray. You don't have to do this when you pray, but just to remind you, okay? The first thing that we pray for is change. Okay? Join me. It's all right. We pray for change. The second thing we pray for is that we grow. You're going to like this action. That we grow. So you're going to remember that this morning. That we grow. The third thing we pray for is that God saves. Come on, don't be shy. You don't have to stand up. You can definitely see. So here we go then. First thing we pray. We pray firstly that God might change the situation. That is, we're praying that if we have someone or we're sick, that he would heal us. That he would heal our gran and our loved one. We're praying that he would remove the difficulty, the thorn in our flesh. We're praying that he might provide us with friends. But do you remember last time? We saw that good asking is not asking selfishly, demanding of God, but like Jesus, seeking the Lord's will. And part of that will is that we ask. God loves that we ask. Psalm 42 is a man who's speaking about how he feels. He's speaking to God about the situation and asking that it will be changed. But we do so trusting God to answer in a way that is best. We say, your will, not mine. We put our hope in him, that he would change things to do what is best, what is right, and immeasurably more than we can imagine. So we pray change. Second thing we pray is, come on, grow. And that is, we pray that whatever the answer, that he might use the situation, the difficulty and the harsh, to grow us in our love for Jesus, to grow us to become more like Jesus, that we would grow in his grace, in his understanding, in his strength. We pray that we'd grow in courage, in patience and love and joy and peace and understanding. And we pray that particularly if we love Jesus and follow Jesus, we pray that particularly for someone, if they're going through a hard time and they know and love Jesus, we're praying that they would grow in their love for Jesus. And God always delights to answer that prayer. But if they're not Jesus's, then we're also praying that God would use this trial and difficulty that they would be saved. Please don't make me stand like this for too long. That they'd be saved. We pray that he might use the situation to save, to bring them to faith. But if we're praying about someone who is already following Jesus, we're praying that actually maybe they have friends and family who aren't saved. But we're praying that actually they would be saved as they see this person who loves Jesus go through this difficulty and hardship. Or maybe the people who are treating them or caring for them would see how good Jesus is. We can pray even when it's hard. Trusting that God always answers our prayers, doing what is best, what is right, and immeasurably more than we can imagine. And all of us can be praying those things for people we love. I'm having to pray that right now. Probably all of you know that my mum is not very well. She has what is called Alzheimer's. That means, kids, that she forgets things. So I can phone her up and she doesn't even know who I am. I phone her up and say, hi, mum, and she says, and I have, mum, it's Mark. And eventually she gets there, she'll go, oh, it's my big boy. And we go for the same conversation. What am I praying for my mum? Three things. I'm praying that God would change the situation. Praying that he would heal her. That he would restore her. Or he would slow down her memory loss so that she would have more time to remember us and her grandchildren. But I'm also praying that she would grow in her love. That she would grow in her love for Jesus. She loves Jesus. Do you know what's amazing? Here's the thing. This is how God is answering the prayer immeasurably more than I could ever imagine. My mum can't remember at times who I am. She can't remember the names of things and places and all sorts. She gets all kinds of confused. But I tell you what she hasn't forgotten. Jesus. She'll tell you straight away she loves Jesus. She's always loved Jesus. She's loved Jesus from a small child, that Jesus has always been with her. She can talk to you about Jesus. That is God doing immeasurably more than I could ever imagine or ask. That as my mum forgets everything else, she's still growing in her love for Jesus. And thirdly, I'm praying that God would save. Not my mom, but my brother and my sister who aren't believers, that as they see how my mom and my dad go through this difficulty and trial, as they see how I respond and Roz responds, that they would be saved. They're the three prayers that we pray for people when they're in difficulty or hard, whether they're sick or whether they're going through a difficult time. We can pray those three prayers. So I want you to take your post-it note right now. And I want you to turn, maybe with your mum and dad, maybe if you're not sitting with your parents, or you're older, an adult. You can either pray in the quietness of your heart or pray with the person next to you. Pray about that situation right now in those three ways. That God would change, God would grow, God would save. Spend a few minutes just praying and then we'll sing to finish.